From Georgia Public Broadcasting, this is On Second Thought. I'm Virginia Prescott. Type any word into Google and the search engine will offer a drop-down list of suggestions for what you might be looking for. So say you type Russia collusion. Delusion is how Google suggests you complete your search. If you click on that, and the first result is an opinion piece from the New York Post. The second, a Tucker Carlson interview on Fox News. Plus a handful of YouTube videos from channels with names like The Red Pill Christian Warrior. Those search results speak to something bigger. When you use Google, you're not just looking for information. Certain information is looking for you. Here to expand on how much influence big tech has on what information we consume is Francesca Tripodi. She's a sociologist and media scholar who joins us on the line from Denver. Hello, Francesca.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, so you recently published a report called Searching for Alternative Facts, Analyzing Scriptural Inference in Conservative News Practices. What led you there?
Well, this was actually a pretty in-depth research project that started with this idea of just better understanding how Trump supporters look for news and what kind of news they value and trust. I feel like there was an underlying narrative coming up about media literacy, which kind of assumed Trump supporters were these cultural dupes that were tricked into fake news, if you will. And I felt like there was more to that story.
So to find out more, you went to work with, or embed yourself, actually, with conservative communities in Virginia. Tell us about some of the people that you met there.
Definitely. So I was embedded inside of two Republican groups, a women's group and a college group. They both knew that I was a researcher, so I wasn't undercover, if you will. But I met a lot of really amazing people that I would have not otherwise interacted or engaged with. And I met a lot of very highly educated and well-off individuals as well. I was trying to engage with the Trump supporter that is outside of the narrative that people kind of have, I think, of Trump supporters.
You mean the sort of angry, out-of-work man?
Exactly, right. Yeah. I wanted to engage with upper-middle-class conservatives, essentially, those who were either already had their college degree or were working on a college degree and were actively involved in the Republican Party.
And these are all people who self-identified as conservative. You wanted to learn how they got their news. Now, of course, part of the story of election 2016 was so much fake news circulating on Facebook and, according to many sources, Russian bots on Twitter. But so why did you zero in on Google?
Well, actually, Google was a pattern that rose during my data analysis. So Google actually came to me, if you will. Mm-hmm. I started with very basic interviews. I centered my research project surrounding the governor's race that was happening in the state of Virginia last year. And the project started with very informal conversations with people exiting the polls during the primary. And I would start with a very simple question. How do you go for news? Where do you go for news that you trust? And this was often met with just kind of laughter or shaking of heads. And so they were saying, you know, I don't really have a news source, but I trust. And so I would follow up saying, well, how did you learn about the candidate you just voted for? And this was always met with, well, I Googled it.
Huh.
And that very much surprised me.
Well, because they were doing their, in other words, they're doing their due diligence. They're looking for a neutral source.
Exactly, exactly. An unbiased neutral source. And so luckily, this was how my project started. And then I was able to, in more in-depth interviews and through my direct participant observation within these groups, see more about how the role of Google plays in, quote-unquote, doing your own research.
Well, let's look at that. The example we just mentioned, you know, Russia collusion. What comes up is Russia collusion delusion. In other words, invalidating the idea that there was collusion. So what are some of the other examples of how autocomplete narrows choices to, let's say, with ideological underpinnings?
So I think that Google definitely has a role to play in this, and specifically with the autocomplete. But one of the underlying arguments in my report is thinking about how the user's own ideological positions are embedded in what we search.
Okay.
Right? So not only does Google help lead us down certain paths, if you will, what we put into Google to begin with very much matters. And even though many of us are very critical of the media, quote unquote, I think few of us are critical of these search engines and the way in which what we put into it dramatically changes what we get out of it. And so one of the examples that I put in my report is, you know, NFL ratings way down, right? So this, during the governor's race, there was all of the discussion happening over the NFL protests, and President Trump tweeted that the NFL ratings were way down as a result of these protests. And so if you Googled NFL ratings way down, you got all this news that was saying they were down. But if you Googled NFL ratings up, which is not looking directly at his text, but rather challenging what he has to say, you get very different information, basically saying, well, yeah, NFL ratings might be down, but it's more complicated than that, and it's not directly correlated to these protests that are taking place right now.
So, Trump would think. Given Google's algorithm, so if somebody who had a liberal or progressive bent and, you know, searched on a lot of things about progressive politics, or if they put in NFL ratings, would they get different choices?
So, that is a great question. You know, my project was not specifically focused on Google autocomplete, so I'm not quite sure. Because right now, if I look at the Google autocomplete, NFL ratings is just telling me 2018, 2017, by year, et cetera. I think that the autocomplete, I think we want to put a lot more of the onus on Google, then think a little bit more about how our own search patterns are influencing what Google gives back to us. I think that the algorithms that Google puts in, you know, are built by people, right? And so I think we often try to think of this algorithm as something that is neutral or unbiased without thinking about, well, the information that we're putting into it is also reflective of our own opinion.
Who and what we are. Francesca Tripodi is with me. She did extensive research on looking for alternative news and worked in reporting with conservative groups in Virginia. Bart Wojcinski is also with us. He's an assistant professor of journalism at the University of Georgia. He's found Google is not the only place where people search to find information, of course. Bart, hello and welcome.
Hey, good morning, Virginia.
So you study the relationship between media and psychology. So let's dig into that. When it comes to links people see on media, what influences them to click?
Well, one of the things that we found is as people are skimming through Twitter feeds, Facebook feeds, these ways that actually have become, for more than half Americans, the way they access news. That's where they go to find these things. They look for things that catch their attention. And often, one of the things that factors whether or not they're actually going to click through and go to the actual body of a story is the image that's contained in those social media posts. Images that make people feel a certain way, they can be sort of more, they can trigger positive emotions or negative emotions, are ones that are more likely to get people to stop as they're scrolling through this feed and more likely to get them to click through and read what's going on.
So you actually follow people's eye patterns and see where they land.
Yeah, we've done a couple of studies where we've either looked at sort of people looking at a series of posts, or we have done some where we've kind of constructed a social media newsfeed. And, you know, obviously there are certain words that also get people to stop on headlines, but images play a big role in whether people sort of stop and bother to read that story at all. And then that, like I said, that governs their exposure to the actual story once they get through.
So you're looking at how a website presents information to get people to stop. Francesca, I'm interested in the motivation or the ideology that one brings to it. In fact, you found that Google's algorithm leads mainline conservatives to more far-right or alt-right content. Part of your finding is conservatives tend to interpret the information they read differently. This is something you call scriptural inference. Now, what does that mean?
Oh, thank you for asking me that. So scriptural inference is a form of media literacy that I learned during Bible study. In very basic terms, it's a compare and contrast focused on the word that prioritizes direct analysis of primary sources. And so one of the central arguments in my report is that conservatives who embody a Christian worldview transfer this practice of scriptural inference to other sources outside of the Bible. So essentially, they're giving authoritative weight to original texts. That could be the a transcript of the president's speech or the Constitution. And then they're critically interrogating mainstream media using these same tools as well.
Yeah, so and that so, really does buck up against this idea that, you know, conservatives just take everything in that conservative media says and don't question it.
Definitely. And so I think this idea of doing your own research is very much rooted in a Protestant breaking down of the Bible, really drilling into these concepts. And while not all Christians are conservatives, nor all conservatives religious, I think this practice of returning to an authoritative text and leveraging this personal dissection is fundamentally bound to evangelical churches and is really trickling down into conservative methods of inquiry.
Huh. So in a way, we have this idea that people search out things that reinforce their own belief systems. What would you say, having looked at these groups, how they consume media vis-a-vis, you know, just reinforcing what you think?
So one thing that really surprised me in my study was the number of different sources that people are reading and the ways in which people are consuming news. So some of the older participants in my study definitely watch Fox News, but they're also reading a wide variety of sources, Wall Street Journal, the New York Times even. The college students were enrolled in multiple news alerts on their iPhone, not just from more of the conservative leading content, but they had CNN alerts coming in. But what I think is really fascinating is that they are critically interrogating the messages that they receive from mainstream media and favoring this concept of the original word, right? So in the same way that Protestants value their own interpretation of the Bible over a priest, there is also this concept of shunning journalistic interpretation of events in favor of studying the original speeches or the original documents.
Google in itself is, you know, is the question, is Google ideological? Right. I mean, it is based on, the algorithm is based on the idea that a lot of people search on something, so you're going to be looking for the most popular search.
Definitely.
What's the response there? And from Google, did you talk with them about this?
So I have actually had conversations with the director of Google News, and I think this is something that Google is deeply invested and interested in, right? They understand that they're part of how people gain information. But I think it's very interesting to also think about how our own searches are laced with ideological underpinnings. I mean, something just as simple as separation of church and state, right? So if you Google separation of church and state versus Googling wall of separation, you will have a very different ideological return in your results. And that is something that I think we aren't taking enough consideration in, is the ways in which our own searches might be keeping us in these filter bubbles, even though we think we're trying to access information that is different from what we believe or counter to what we already believe.
Francesca Tripodi, sociologist and media scholar, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you so much. I had a great time.